Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Well, hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 233 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, joined today by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters. Welcome back, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome hello. To
wonderful Monday.
I have to start this episode by saying we had a first.
Uh-oh.
Last week.
An upsetting first.
An upsetting first.
Yeah, especially for me, because I was listening, waiting. I missed last week. I was like, oh, well, I can catch up. You left me on a cliffhanger.
We forgot the Pokemon fact of the week last week, Christian.
Oh, yeah, we did. I thought you were just like so put off by how boring the Poke fact of the week last week was. These freaking Reggies, you know, there's nothing. Actually, I will say this, you know, teaser for this week's Poke fact of the week. This week's Poke fact of the week is weird.
We would start this episode with last week's Pokemon fact of the week, and then we'll get into the show. But first, let me get through some business.
Of course.
If you're listening to this show, it means you are probably a Pokemon fan. If you are not a Pokemon fan and you're listening to this show may turn you into a Pokemon fan. So it's really a win-win all around for someone who just may have stumbled onto this show. This show covers all of it. Games, anime, manga sometimes, movies, trading cards, you name it. If it's got Pokemon slapped somewhere on the cover or box, we are talking about it. Every week, we do a quick news rundown for you, just to keep you all updated. We want you to be a well-informed Pokemon fan. Then we take a quick break, and we come back. We do a deep dive. We basically take whatever the biggest news of the week or whatever crazy thing happened in the world of Pokemon. We talk about that. And then at the very end, usually, we do a Pokemon fact of the week, and that's everyone's favorite part. And then we all go home. Two things to keep in mind. We have a Discord. Head on over to our profile over on xx.com/@PokemonPodCB. Find a link to the Discord. Get in there. Semantics does a phenomenal job of keeping that up and running. And you can show us your Pokemon cards. You can show us your Pokemon costumes. You can show us your Pokemon candy, whatever. If you're looking for a raid or something, there's a crew in there who is ready to jump on board and help you out.
It's been very helpful in completing Pokemon Scarlet and Violet stuff.
Yep. So with that said, let's get into last week's Pokemon fact of the week.
Yes. This last week's Pokemon fact of the week is, okay, this is scary. This is very scary. Regice, its entire body is made out of Antarctic ice, which one implies the existence of Antarctica in the Pokemon world.
True.
Two, also means...
And by Antarctic ice, that's ice from the South Pole, not the North Pole. Look, as I was reminded by the reviews on iTunes this week, we still have a very young audience, and they may not know where Antarctica is yet.
Okay, fair point. So, for those of you who have not recently looked at a globe, the white thing at the bottom of it is Antarctica. It's one of the seven continents. Continents are large land bodies
The opposite pole of where Santa is.
Yes, Santa, exactly. So Delhi birds live on the north.
Delhi birds live on top. Regi-eyes live on both.
Regi-eyes was carved out of the South Pole. The other thing is that it is believed that its body is made from the Ice Age. Now, the Ice Age, for those of you who haven't followed ancient history, so that's probably our very young audience.
Excellent animated films.
Well, it's a series of DreamWorks films starring a saber tooth, a woolly mammoth, a sloth, and inexplicably a prehistoric squirrel. Yep. But also, it was a period of time in which there was a significant cooling of the atmosphere and the average temperature of Earth, and it killed
all
off.
The
dinosaurs were killed off because of, kind of sort of related, not really, but sure.
The asteroids hit Earth, dinosaurs died, then we got the Ice Age.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's accurate. And so Regi-eyes apparently was first created during that time period. So when there were woolly mammoths and there were, hunter-gatherers hunting said woolly mammoths, there were also Regi-eyes.
Sentient ice golems wandering the South Pole.
And so that is the interesting thing about Regi-eyes. And so now, listeners of our Pokemon podcast, you now know about what continents are, you know about the Ice Age, and you know about Regi-eyes. And, at the end of this episode, spoiler, we're going to talk about the the elemental nature of metal. And I'm not talking about Avatar the Last Airbender elements. I'm talking about chemical elements. And we'll talk
about that. You come to this podcast for Pokemon, but you leave informed about history, geography, chemistry. We really do it all here, honestly. I'm very proud of it.
I'm going to change my approach to how we do this podcast. I'm going to approach this podcast as if it's like every conversation I have with my 8-year-old. The other week, my son, we were driving home from a thing, and he just literally goes out of nowhere. Dad, which would you rather have more of? $1 million worth of gold or $1 million worth of money? Then so that turned into an entire conversation about fiat currency. And I was like, well, bud, I guess we're talking about this. So
look, I just want to say this show produces the smartest Pokemon fans, hands down.
Truly, it does.
Right.
We guarantee.
A ton of great Pokemon podcasts out there. Listen to this one.
And your SAT score will go up.
Going straight up.
I know we're throwing out those big ACT words, too.
All right. Well, this week. Another a little bit of a slow week, but still we're in that that holiday lull, basically.
There was one big news story and no other news story besides that.
Yeah. Right. All right. So we have in trading card game a bit of trading card game news this week. A super rare Pokemon card officially authenticated.
A mythical Pokemon card was officially and I'm not talking about Mew. I'm talking about the Raichu pre-release, which, so for those of you who know, back when Wizards of the Coast was making the Pokemon card game, they printed a bunch of pre-release Clefable promos for Pokemon leaks. Mm. So these were literally the pre-release cards that you got for doing the very first Pokemon leaks. However, there were some Raichu cards that were allegedly mixed in with the Clefable one, and they were supposed to be destroyed, but a few of them allegedly weren't. And so these were literally like the Mew under the truck of Pokemon cards. It didn't exist, and yet some people claimed that they did. Now, back in 2006, the confirmation of these Raichu cards were confirmed when a picture got posted of them. And that is how we knew that this was truly a thing. And but the problem is that because they aren't official cards, no one has wanted to authenticate one because they don't technically exist. This is not an official card. This was literally a mistake and it got pulled out. And what's made things worse is that, you know, scammers being scammers, when they aren't busy, you know, creating bots to, you know, get Pikachu Van Gogh cards, they were fake stamping Raichu first edition cards with a pre-release to basically fake these things. So it wasn't until CGC this week officially graded
one. Said, hey, this is a real one, and it is now on the census.
Yeah. So these were, you know, and Pokebeach, who, you know, friend of the show, and they go and, you know, they're like the Pokemon blog, Pokemon trading card game blog, talked about CGC. They use forensic technology. They use scamming. They use imaging.
You would like to learn more about how CGC grades stuff, we have a great special on the comicbook.com YouTube channel. It's the very first episode of that collectible show where we went to CGC and they showed us and told us all about it.
So, and the two that they authenticated, you know, both went and, you know, there is a confirmed proof of custody that dates back. And so CGC actually wrote an entire article about how they were able to like authenticate this, and they like did forensics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they were able to officially certify
That's
them.
Pretty cool.
And it's really awesome. Like, really.
So does that make it like a top three rarest card kind of thing?
No, technically yes and no. So it's super rare in that we don't know how many of these exist.
Right.
So yes,
but it's presumably the only one that's graded, right? Because PSA doesn't have any
There's two of them that officially got graded. Oh. One got graded as an 8 and the other one got graded as a 5.5. So there's only two grades. Right. But the thing is, and we don't know what the exact value of them. You know, the last time that one of these was purchased was back in 2018, and it was one of these two, and it got purchased by $20,000. You know, grading in this case, other than the fact that it, you know, provides some extra level of authentication, right. You know, it basically confirms for the rest of, you know, eternity that this card will still be valid. Right. You know, it doesn't really add to the value at all because there's, you know, only so many of these exist. You're going to want to get your hands on them, whether they're graded or not, if you can authenticate This makes the job a little bit easier. And the other thing is that a lot of people don't consider these to be, this is more akin to a misprint than an actual Pokemon card. And, you know, it's a really cool piece of history, but it's not.
And if not for nothing, I mean, it's a historical piece, if anything else. I mean, that's cool. Cause that's like those like early Magic cards, right? Like the Alpha set or whatever, the ones that go for like crazy stupid money. Not official cards, but still definitely part of the Magic mythology in a sense. So
yeah, no, it's one of those, like, it's a really neat bit of history. I don't know how much these cards would be worth on the market. I mean, I don't think they would go as much as like a Charizard card, for instance. But
what was kind of the going rate of the artist promo?
Those are the Pikachu Illustrator. Let me see what the most recent.
Are much more rare in the sense that there's only X amount of them, you know, X amount of them. Period.
$500,000.
Woo. Yeah.
And there's 41 of those cards that's in existence. It sold for $500,000.
I could see this now graded. Look, if one sold for $20,000 ungraded, right? I can imagine graded now, this going for at least double.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. This is a cool piece of Pokemon history and a cool piece of Pokemon card history. But, you know, I think what limits it is that it only has value to those who appreciates Pokemon history.
Sure.
You know, it's not going to be flashy. And so that's really what limits like the value of it. But
we know plenty of people who appreciate Pokemon history that would spend big money on it. So, you know, that's wild. Cool. All right. Also in trading card game news, Mm-hmm. We talked about it last week, but now we know what it looks like.
Yeah,
the shiny Charizard EX leaked.
So there is. So this is a two part story. The still yet unreleased shiny set over here in the United States is starting to leak online, and it's because
the Japanese set is starting to come out, right?
Because
this is supposed to come out at the same time.
Well, it's supposed to come out. Everyone thinks it's going to come out sometime in January, assumably. Mm. The issue is that somebody from the printing factory has gotten their hands on the secret rare cards and is posting them on Reddit and on Twitter, and including multiple copies of a secret illustration rare Charizard EX, which uses different artwork than the current secret illustration rare Charizard EX.
So now, an extra shiny Charizard card has entered the chat.
Yeah, so it's not only do we know that there will be a shiny Charizard, we also know that it will be getting the full treatment, and we know that it will...
It's new art, and it's not a shiny version of the other, like any of the other pre-existing alternate...
Yeah, no, it's a brand new card. Like, that's the thing. It is a brand new... like piece of artwork made for this card. It's like the Mew EX card also got leaked, and it is a brand new Mew EX card. So I mean, and keep in mind, these are technically reprints of the Charizard EX that came out with Obsidian Flames. So it's a dark type Charizard EX. It has the same exact moves, but it uses a brand new piece of artwork showing a shiny Charizard, which is how these work. The ridiculous things about that is because these cards have started to leak, this set will only have 91 normal cards, but it's going to have something like 150 secret rares. Because like that Charizard, I forget if it's the Mew or the Charizard EX, it's like 260 of 91. It's like, that's excessive.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So and the reason why, it's because all the shinies are also are all secret rares technically.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's quite a bit. Also realized today, Semantics dropped this in the Discord, that yesterday, November 5th, was the 6th anniversary of I Choose You. It came out, Pokemon I Choose You, Pokemon the movie I Choose You in North America. That feels like it was way longer than 2017. But then again,
it's kind of weird the fact we've just not had a Pokemon movie recently at all, which has been such a departure from the anime schedule up until kind of they've done the Ash turnover. Like, now it feels like it wasn't that long ago to me, because I'm like, man, we haven't had a Pokemon movie so long. That was like one of the last ones released, when in reality, that's not the case. We'll see. One day we'll get another Pokemon movie.
Maybe. it's weird. It's weird, isn't it? Because, you know.
Well, I mean, like, but do you think it's because of the streaming deals?
No, not in Japan. I mean, they would. I mean, the movies traditionally did rather well in Japan. You know, they would have them in theaters for a really long time. They were a big to do. My conspiracy theory is they're just kind of, you know, trying to get the new Pokemon leads and Horizon. They're trying to give like Roy and Lila some more time to create a fan base and, you know, want to bring people into the movie theaters. That's really my assumption. I don't know what else they would be waiting for, aside from the fact that the anime industry is horribly understaffed and overworked. So
I think that's, you know, really what it is.
I think it's the potent combination of they have these new characters and there's so many anime projects that are trying to get done right now, both in Japan and globally, that it's become more expensive to do these productions.
Yeah.
And they're probably just kind of towing a weird line.
Yeah.
Well, there does seem to be less movies based, like anime movies based on, based on like existing like TV anime franchises right now. That, like, generally speaking, like, it just seems like there's less of those than there used to be. Like, you know what? It's been like a year or two since we've got a My Hero Academia movie. You know, mm-hmm. it's been, you know, like, we just had One Piece Red, which was earlier this year, but that was like the first One Piece movie we've gotten in a few years. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's weird because, like, of how many Naruto movies there's been that we haven't gotten, like, a Naruto movie.
There's been, like, 13 Naruto movies.
So it seems to be a trend.
A sign of how the industry has changed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And a lot of the anime movies that are being made so that they fit into the canon so that they can mm-hmm. just then be chopped mm-hmm. up for television distribution. When you look at Demon Slayer, Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, that is a canon part of the anime that instead of them giving it a season or, you know, two cores, they just turned it into a movie. So it's definitely kind of a sign of anime is massive and it's growing. We want to bring in box office numbers, but also we need to be servicing the anime fandom at the same time, like the strict TV show. It's very interesting. It's very complicated. How they market it is very smart. And I do think that that's definitely had an impact on Pokemon. So mm-hmm. I don't know what the answer is for, you know, what that means if we're going to get more Pokemon movies. But I think it's an interesting kind of a little messy situation that the industry is having to think through.
Well, and here's the weird thing about the mythical Pokemon, because the mythical Pokemon have traditionally been tied to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we have not had a mythical Pokemon in Scarlet and Violet other than Mew. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's kind of weird, you know? I got no other way of putting it other than it's pretty weird.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's so funny too, right? Like, so I saw Hakuna Mateo in the chat say, you know, the redux of Mewtwo Strikes Back was whack, which, like, I know that, like, that was the sentiment for a lot of folks, but
I love that movie. I thought
my kid loved it. And, like,
it slapped. I wouldn't be
opposed to more like that. But again, right? Like, I think that just means it's just animation studios just kind of needing to be available for it, which mm-hmm. feels like that's what's really the big problem right now.
Oh yeah, it is. It is. It is an intense situation. Not just in Japan, but globally. I mean, the amount of global animators, creative directors, character designers that work on it now from America, Europe, and everywhere. It has exponentially risen.
I had this conversation come up in regards to, we were talking about Fortnite. So for those of you who don't know, Fortnite just this past weekend brought back its original map, the map from way in the beginning, and to great success. Players have been coming back to play it, and it is a smash hit.
Hmm.
But the conversation around it was, bringing back the original map has always felt like a break glass in case of emergency move for Epic, right? In the sense that, like, things must be going pretty poorly if they do this. Epic has had, now I think what I'm going to pose, the two companies are in very different positions, but Epic has, you know, they've been laying people off, and, you know, there's they've said that they've had significant money troubles and things like that. And so, yeah, bringing back the OG map feels like, oh, like, well, we need it, right? Do we feel like that would be the move for the Pokemon company as far as anime, maybe just even movies are concerned with Ash?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. If the anime gets set on fire, I mean, companies have done this time and again. That was literally the point of Dragon Ball. They were going to permanently kill off Goku, replace him with Gohan, and then Akira Toriyama was like, oh, this is a bad decision. The fans aren't reacting well. What are we going to do? Let's bring Goku back to life. So, I mean, this is a tested method in the anime industry. Ash is absolutely behind the glass of break in case of emergency.
Right.
I mean, so far the ratings for Pokemon Horizons, I mean, they've done well. I mean, that's the thing is the block that the Pokemon anime is airing in Japan is primarily a children's block. It's in the morning with a lot of other, you know, top tier, you know, storyline.
It's in the block that we all know when we grew up watching Pokemon.
And kids are incredibly resilient when it comes to these kind of IP changes. I mean, they just go with it. That's kind of they don't have that kind of nostalgia attachment that, you know, us adult fans would have towards Ash. So
except for when like Yu-Gi-Oh went to like Yu-Gi-Oh GX and or whatever, and then I was just like, nope, I'm out.
Well, I mean, they held on to Yugi for a long time, and they know what? They did bring him back for a while.
Yeah, so
that was like, their breaking case of emergency.
Well, it was so funny because there was actually a moment even this morning where like I knew. Using a Power Rangers example, like I knew this most recent season of Power Rangers, like Cosmic Fury on Netflix brought back Lord Zedd and then like made him like Super Shredder Lord Zedd. And I was like, wait, what? Now I got to watch it because I need to see Super Shredder Lord Zedd in this show. So yeah, no, for sure. I get it.
Yeah, they bring it back. So I mean, it's not a matter of if, but more so when they do the Ash move. You know, they're just they're just not wanting to blow that option too quickly. Considering Horizons is still doing well in Japan right now, it's in a very weird flux, obviously, outside of Japan because of the dubbing and licensing and airing and streaming of it all. So I think that might be the other thing that's kind of keeping the anime movie wheel from moving is if they put out a Pokemon Horizons film right now, you know, I think it would perform well in Japan, but globally, I think there's just such little interest because the TV show itself has no real footprint
in its second biggest market. So
yeah, I mean, Europe and, you know, North America are huge markets for those. So they're not going to want to throw that out too willy-nilly. I think we would for sure get another kind of, you know, Mewtwo Strikes Back kind of, you know, CG, 3D, whatever remake of another Pokemon movie before we get an original Pokemon Horizons kind of project in theaters.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. All right, last bit of news before we take a quick break. Pikachu and Eevee are returning to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Same balloon as 2021.
Same balloon in the sled.
We gotta love it. I mean, between Pokemon, One Piece, and Dragon Ball being in the parade.
I know.
Amazing. Truly.
What a time in the parade.
Yeah. Huh?
Is this the first time that Luffy's been in the parade?
Yeah, this is his first year. They're going to have a Luffy balloon.
I think it's appropriate.
Which is wild. I mean, I have to imagine.
It's so wild to me. I just have to break on a tangent. I have loved One Piece since I was a child. And let me tell you what, the desert, the drought of One Piece I lived through, because it did not perform well in America with the 4Kids dub. It just disappeared. They said, okay, America doesn't want One Piece. We're not going to deal with it. And it was gone. It couldn't find Naruto was thriving. Bleach, you could find it everywhere here. I could not find One Piece to save my life. So the renaissance this show has had in like the last 6 to 12 months has just warmed my cold little heart. Now that he's gonna be, I will probably cry watching him in the parade. You don't understand. I'm so excited. It's such like a comeuppance. So to know that like Pokemon is gonna be there, and then One Piece and Dragon Ball. It shows the power of nostalgia, and also it shows the power of generational fandom. You know, adults, people our age, passing on the interest to their kids.
I also got to imagine Netflix probably paid for half the balloon.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it did.
Toei paid a lot for it. To run
the Dragon Ball balloon and the One Piece balloon, like that feels like a lot of money even for Toei.
I mean, I think you're underestimating how much money Toei has made in the last little bit, Jim. I mean, the money Toei made on just One Piece film Red alone in America.
Right. Sure.
Easily paid for that balloon.
Sure.
So, you know.
You'll appreciate this, Megan. So, you know, we named our dog Luffy.
Oh my God, this is breaking news.
Wait, you didn't. Did I, you no. miss that?
Oh, you're right. Megan was
in there last week. I forgot. Yeah, no. I have a puppy and his name is Luffy. He's a mini golden doodle, and his name is Luffy. And so he was out, you know, I took him out yesterday because it was a gorgeous weekend, and a bunch of the neighbor kids wanted to go and play with him because he's a puppy. And so, you know, one of the kids like met him for the first time, and he's like, "Oh, Luffy. Oh, is he from, you know, is that like One Piece?" I was like, "Yeah." It's like, "Yeah, hell yeah, kid. You know, you know, you're freaking One Piece." He's like, "Yeah, no, it's that anime." He's like, I usually just call anime One Piece because they're the same thing, you know. And I was like, I was just like cracking up. And so it's like, you know, I was like trying to explain to him. It's like, well, anime is actually Japanese animation, but nowadays, not really. It's basically just, you know, whatever Netflix decides, you know, they want to call anime because it's also animation. A genre. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, yeah. So it's One Piece. I was like, okay, yeah. Let's just go.
Let's go with this child logic. Well, my favorite thing is over Halloween. I mean, I saw a good few Pokemon costumes, but for like the first time in my like adult existence, I saw more kids dressed up as like anime characters than like movie or comic book characters. I saw several Gokus in my neighborhood, and I was like, "Hello, children! How are you doing?"
We had
the Pokemon cards that I gave out, I had the option. I was like, "I'll either give you Pokemon cards or I'll give you candy." And none of them wanted candy.
No, dude, when you give kids the option other than candy, like I read a whole thing where like some lady used to put potatoes in a bowl full of candy, and kids would literally come up to the house and take the potatoes instead of candy, like it was something different and a novelty. And I was like, that's brilliant.
That is brilliant. That's awesome. But yeah, I gave out all of my Pokemon cards. And then I felt bad because then there were some kids that were like, "Hey, we heard you had Pokemon cards." And I'm like, "Bruh, I'm out.
I'm fresh out.
But you know what? I got some Almond Joys. I got some Skittles."
Oh, Megan, you're the house that gives out Almond Joy?
Okay, how dare you? I love Almond Joys.
Megan.
I mostly had Reese's and Hershey's bars. So leave me alone. But several kids did take the Almond Joys. And those kids knew. Those kids
understand. Man, you just hit like the highest of highs and the lowest of lows.
How dare you?
That lady gives out Pokemon cards. Ugh, but if she runs out, you're also getting Almond Joys. You're getting Almond
Joys. Well, they mostly took all the Reese's, which I was fine with because I hoped the kids wouldn't take the Almond Joys because I wanted them. And I got them. And so now I have my own little stash. But yeah, I was impressed. So between the Thanksgiving parade and Halloween, like Pokemon, anime, it's on the up. I love it.
Right, we've been saying it for years. Anime is on the up.
It warms the cockles of my heart.
That's right. Need to get on my board.
We had a group of kids that dressed up as it was like a Studio Ghibli group costume. Not only did they have an inflatable, like, you know, My Neighbor Totoro costume, like one of the girls, somebody dressed up. Because one kid was, you know, it was very clearly Kiki's Delivery Service. Mm-hmm. And then the third kid, I think, was also My Neighbor Totoro, but she had the little like fuzzball spirits, like, you know, like
sprites.
Yeah. Oh. The soot sprites. Oh, it was so freaking cool. Like, that was like the best costume. There's like four kids. It was like Studio Ghibli. And I was just like, that's awesome. Like, I freaking
Do you have any them. Good trick or treat costumes at your neighborhood, Jim?
I had a lot of Ash costumes in the neighborhood.
Did you run around and call them all posers?
which I thought was interesting. I saw there were a lot of inflatable Pikachus. I saw a lot of like Megan costume inflatable Pikachus. Running around, which was great. I posted this on Instagram. Someone on their front yard had a bunch of like handicap walkers on their front yard painted as zombies. And I was like, oh, these are walkers, like Walking Dead walkers.
Oh, that.
And I was like, that is clever. And so
good one.
But it was so funny because like it was this was in a friend of ours neighborhood, and I walk up to the guy and I was like, I just got like what this is. And the guy was like, oh man, I'm a huge Walking Dead fan. I had to put, we had a bunch of these. I had to put these out, and I was like, I was like, bet, give me 1 second. I take a picture of it, and this is going to be like a super name droppy kind of moment, right? I take a picture of it. I send it, and I sent it to Robert Kirkman, and he responded back being like, that's the funniest thing I think I've seen all day today. It was great. And so I showed it to the guy, and the guy was like, oh my God. And like, I thought it was going to fall over. So it was a nice little like moment.
Got look to at you guy's spreading day, Halloween.
Was, I know, right? Like that was so nice. But yeah, no, but then I saw a ton of My Hero costumes too.
They are everywhere. Yeah.
Yep.
Everywhere. And I do mean everywhere.
Yeah. So I saw there was like one, there was one dad who went as Frieza,
Frieza
was great.
Does have dad energy. Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I was shocked at the number, of Ash costumes that were out. And they were mostly millennials wearing Ash costumes. But
yeah, I was about to say it was probably a bunch of like parents and their kids.
Yeah, it was a bunch of parents. Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So, but then again. All right. We got to take a quick break. When we get back, we are going to talk about the DLC coming to Scarlet and Violet. All that and more when we're back in 60 seconds.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. We have a new date for Indigo Disc, the DLC for Scarlet and Violet that I personally am really excited about. And so I hope it is good. And we are going to talk about our expectations for it. And I will also put the spoiler warning out there for folks. It looks like there was a data mine and the returning Pokemon are out there in the wild. So if you want to be surprised.
Which you'd probably know about if you've listened to our past Pokemon podcast episodes, because we've talked about those like twice.
Right? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I forgot that it came out.
The only like really spoiler thing is that, you know, there's a couple of Pokemon that are like unrevealed Pokemon, but were like heavily teased in the first part that we'll be getting in the second part. Right. But, you know,
remind us, when does Indigo Disc come out?
December 14th. So when they say winter 2023, they really truly meant like, no, we're going to wait until the last possible moment of winter 2023, two weeks before the end of the year. That is when we're dropping this thing, 7 days before the solstice, and, you know, 11 days before Christmas. But, you know, it was kind of surprising because everyone kind of just assumed that this wouldn't come out until like January, February 2024.
Yeah,
you know, that was like the first thing is people were genuinely surprised that, you know, there's a lot of surprise that Pokemon
is that because the teal mask probably didn't sell as well?
No, I don't think it had anything to do with that. I think the teal mask, you know, did fine, you know, from what I understand anecdotally. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to track DLC sales because there's no way of doing it. But from the traffic,
especially since most of it is digital.
Yeah, but from the traffic patterns of like teal mask search stuff, it did on par with what Scarlet and Violet did. So a large portion of the Pokemon fan base probably who bought Scarlet and Violet probably also bought the Teal Man. I mean, bought the DLC. So it won't be like 100%, but you know, even 75% would be fantastic for them. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah. So you know, we're gonna go to the, you know, everyone's been wanting to go back to the Unova region, and you know, by God, we're going back to the Unova region. Sure, we won't actually be going to any place that we recognize. We're actually going to be sitting under the ocean in a terrarium, battling a bunch of kids that we, you know, never heard of before. You know,
this DLC. But like, but again, but kind of like what, like I've said this before. This DLC, at least from a story standpoint, looks like it leans into the more like sci-fi aspects of Pokemon, right? Like the research stuff, which that's the stuff that gets me hook, line, and sinker. That's the stuff I love.
I'm still waiting to figure out how they're going to tie all of this together, because like the you know the Teal Mask, you know, the Teal Mask was basically like, yeah, it had nothing to do with terrestrialization. There's like one throwaway mention of terrestrialization. It was all about befriending a murderer and helping her, you know, like, snot out of, like, you know, and like ruining some kid's dream, you know, which is my favorite type of Pokemon story. You know, if I can, one, recruit the murderer, two, recruit the murderees, and three, ruin a kid's dream and make them probably get possessed by an evil Pokemon and like swear revenge against me, like, you know, that's, I mean, really, that's just checking off the boxes. But all the lead in had nothing to do with terrestrialization. It had nothing to do with anything, you know. So I don't know where the storyline's going or how this is going to tie back to it, like the hidden treasure of Area Zero. We aren't going to Area Zero. We didn't go to Area Zero in part one. You know, Area Zero is just sitting there. It's a big freaking hole in the ground. So yeah, so I'm really curious. Like, I can't wait to see like what deranged thing Kieran does next. Like, I really hope he tries to, like, you know, take a page out of Ogrepan's book and tries to kill me.
No. It is too cute to do any of that. Too cute.
Ogrepan murdered three Pokemon.
I mean, yeah, sure, but
like straight up tried to, you know,
yeah,
no, you know, no. She didn't try. She succeeded. We visited the graves, and something brought them back as zombies. And then in typical Pokemon fashion, we captured them and now we forced them to work together. And, you know, basically I just keep the loyal three in line by, you know, like, hey, Ogrepan's standing right behind me. She's smiling. She's got a big stick. And by God, she's not afraid to use it. She will murder you a second time if you do not perform in this battle. You know, there's no high friendship levels. There's only the threat of a second murder.
Do we? There's no way we're going to get any real performance fixes with this, right?
I mean, I kind of hope so, considering that the performance in Area Zero sucks. I was just down there, not like, you know, I went down there not too long after when the first part, when Teal Mask came out, I decided to like finish my Pokedex. And right. So, you know, I was trading for Pokemon and stuff like that. So I had to go in there and like grab some extra Sandy Shocks and stuff. And, you know, the performance is still not all that great. So, yeah, no, I hope there's some performance. But you know, I have no idea how that's all going to go. At this point in time, I will not make any predictions there. I can only hope. I also can hope that they learn from their mistakes.
Now, remind me.
Yes.
We didn't know about Scarlet and Violet by the time the second Sword and Shield. No. We did not.
No. Okay. No, there was a good window. It so came out like earlier than, you know, yeah, it came out earlier in the cycle because it was like an early summer and late summer release. And this one was a, like late summer and late fall release.
Right. So this is going to drop and then that's it. We don't know. Then we're back in the what's next.
Yeah.
Phase.
Yeah, it'll be interesting if we get a Pokemon Legends. I mean, so that's the thing. It's like I genuinely think we could get another Pokemon Legends game next year.
Please give me something. I miss playing Pokemon. I've played plenty of my other games, but every time I pick up Scarlet and Violet, I just set it back down because I'd rather be I'd rather have FOMO than be frustrated and angry.
Yeah, like I think that that's you know, I genuinely think like the ANOVA stuff, like there's enough like lore there that mm-hmm. we could get that for the next game.
It's gonna be interesting.
You also have to consider that if the Switch 2 does indeed come out next year, they'll want a Pokemon game to come out for Switch 2, just like they wanted Pokemon Let's Go. You know, that partially came out just so they could go and do. Just so they could have a Pokemon game out for the Switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think, like I said, for me, it'll be interesting to see how they wrap the story up. But the mm-hmm. the setting of this one is really the thing I'm looking forward to the most. I'm hoping. I haven't like looked at the leaked Pokemon returning list, but. I'm hoping that doesn't disappoint either, because you know, I like that. Like, that's also a part that I like about this stuff, is just like, you know, what other returning Pokemon will there be? Or,
well, Jim, I think that you will be pleasantly surprised, because two of your favorite Pokemon should be coming back: Alolan Raichu and Alolan Golem.
Don't do this to Jim. Don't do this to him.
I hate those.
So I think both of them are coming back. So you can rest easy. You'll finally get your Pokemon. You will finally get your Raichu that has been warped by its love of pancakes, and also Railgun Golem, aka Cool Golem. You know, the golem that blows up other things besides itself. You know, you can look forward to that. And yeah, I don't know what else.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're on the road to that. I got to imagine we'll get another trailer or two probably within the
days, next
couple of weeks. Yeah, days, really.
Hours. Can't wait to find out.
Could we get a? I think we're done for the year as far as directs go. Right? You know, I don't think they won't do a
direct for Pokemon. They'll save that for Pokemon Day.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. All right, well, I guess we'll see what the Indigo Disc brings us. Let's get to the Pokemon Fact of the Week.
So Registeel, so much as we discussed last week with Regice.
you mean just 50 minutes ago?
No, I mean last week. That was very clear in the previous episode. We'll go and edit that thing. So the hilarious thing, there's two things. One, Registeel is not made of steel. Its metal is made of a mysterious substance that is not only hard, but shrinks and stretches flexibly. I don't know what that means, but that is apparently what Registeel does. The other thing is Registeel is hollow.
And that's sad.
Yeah. The third thing that is cool about about Registeel is that non-English versions of Registeel have a different when in Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, Registeel had a different animation in non-English European versions. Oh. So if you bought a German version of Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, it had a different animation than it did in the English version. And that is because Registeel, its arm was, it would raise its arm kind of above its head in an outstretched arm manner. And it resembled certain things that, you know, we've discussed enough history today. So let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Something you shouldn't do.
Yeah, you should not do that. Do not make the Registeel hand gesture.
Well, so because the other two Regis won't show up till much later. I'll just ask this right now. Favorite Reggie?
I like the two new ones much better than any of these three.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Reggie Drago is awesome, and Reggie
if there is an answer, the answer is Reggie Drago.
Yeah, Reggie Drago is pretty cool. Like, it's got like the two dragons. It's, you know, like it's made out of dragons. which makes no sense, but it's awesome. I just like the idea of like Regigigas like carving up dragons and stuffing them together to create some like Frankenstein zombie.
This one shall
be the dragon one.
Does Regigigas count as a Reggie? Because then that one's my favorite.
It's the one that created all the other Reggies. So
I mean, that's what I mean, though. But like, I can't tell if it's like.
I mean, it's colonial. The math. It's in the, you know, it's kind of like, do you consider Ho-Oh to be the master, or like to be a legendary bird when it's right. It's the equivalent of kind of like the, or not, it wouldn't be, it would be Lugia in this case. It wouldn't be Ho-Oh. Ho-Oh right. is associated with the legendary beasts.
Yeah. If I had to take Regigigas out, Registeel is probably my favorite. I like that.
Registeel's the coolest of the three originals by far. Mm-hmm. And it's also got the best shiny of the three.
Oh, I didn't even notice. I didn't even check that. What's his shiny?
Christian,
absolutely not. It looks like a Christmas tree ornament.
No, it's like copperized. It's a copper. It's a Registeel. It's got that copper, ionized copper look, or oxidized copper look.
Yeah, no, I don't like the green. Absolutely not.
I mean, it's better than Regirock, which is just a different shade.
It's just dirtier.
Or Regice, which is a slightly darker, lighter shade of blue.
Oh man. Well, there we go. We're out of the Regis, at least for temporarily.
Yeah, next week we'll be talking about cool legendary Pokemon. Not really.
No. All right. Well, that's going to do it. That's going to do it for us this week. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you like the show and want to support the show, tell someone about it. Tell your Pokemon friends that, "Hey, I listened to this Pokemon show. It's great." If you need to kill 40 to 50 minutes each week, go ahead, give it a listen, and then we can talk about it. Other than that, get on over into that Discord. Like I said, head on over to x.com/PokemonPodCB, at PokemonPodCB. Find a link there and get involved. Otherwise, you can follow us and talk to us on X. I'm at Jim Viscardi. Megan is at Megan Peters CB, and Christian is at C Hoffer C Bus. Until next week, may the shiny luck be ever in your favor, and we'll catch you then. Peace!